Let's start. Now, if you haven't been with us, over the summer we have what we call our summer series, which is what we do is we take a question out to our community, out to our friends. We ask them that question, and they're usually about spiritual things or about issues that would be good for us to be able to connect with them about. Questions like, if you met God, what question would you ask him, etc. This year we asked the question, what is a Christian? Well, what do people think a Christian is? And it's just an opportunity to hear what people are thinking a Christian is. And then we're unpacking some of those responses over these two weeks. So before we begin, I just might pray that we can tune our hearts and minds into what God says a Christian is and what that means for us. Let's do that. Father, we want to come before you, like Matt prayed, with humility, with a willingness to hear what you have to say to us, with a willingness to let you shape and mould and change us, to challenge us where we need to be challenged, and for us to have that joy of knowing that there is grace. As we come now and we contemplate this question and we open your word, I pray that that you bear fruit in our lives, that you bring about the changes that need to happen, and that you answer for us this question of what is a Christian? What is it that you're wanting in us? We pray this in your name. Amen. So, yeah, 2 weeks. What is a Christian? And because there's only 2 weeks, we really want to zero in on the heart of the matter. Because there's lots of true things that you could say about Christians. And not all of them necessarily define what a Christian is. So last week we used the example of a friend. And I asked a few people, what is a friend? And got them to define it. Now, if someone asked me, what is a friend? Well, like I said, there's lots of ways to describe. You might say a friend, with all this rain that we've had and now the heat, a friend is someone who comes and mows your grass. There's your definition. Someone who comes and mows your grass. Now, you might say, well, that's right. But the problem is, I used to mow grass for lots of different people and I didn't know them. So that can't be the heart of what the matter is. So you think, it's the principle behind it. It's someone who is helpful. They're a friend. Well, I've got lots of friends that aren't particularly helpful. And then there's lots of people that are helpful that aren't my friends. So, and I wasn't looking at any of my mates out there. So the thing is, when you ask the question, what is a Christian? There's lots of true things that we could say about Christians, but they don't define what a Christian is. They don't get to the heart of the matter. And what we want to be able to do is, with all these different kind of perspectives of what a Christian is, we want to get to the one, that thing, that if we took it away, then you wouldn't have a Christian. And if we can find what that thing is, that the heart of the matter, then we can find what a Christian is. And so that's been our plan over these two short weeks. Can't cover every angle. Like in the Bible, there's this beautiful spectrum of perspectives that builds this beautiful picture of what a Christian is. A bit like, you know, the tiles that go into a mosaic, individual tiles, they come together to make this beautiful picture. It'd be nice if we can do that, but we can't over 2 weeks. So I wanted to zero in on the heart, and so we had a three-part plan. The first part was to look at what a Christian is not, and we did a bit of that last week. And then we're looking at what a Christian is from two different angles. One from what God does, and then one from the angle of what we do. And last week we looked at the first two things, some things that a Christian is not, and looked at the angle of what a Christian is from the angle of what God does. And this week we're going to look at the angle from what we do. So I just, like a good school teacher, I want to recap what we've done so far. So can anyone remember the definition that we came up with last week, at the end of last week, for what a Christian is? And there is a Milky Way, if you get it right. So anyone remember the definition that we came up with for a Christian last week? And if you don't get it, I'm going to be sorely disappointed. I'm going to be terrible.
What about me? I wasn't
here. Oh, well, you get... Yeah, all right. Well, there's all the people claiming they weren't here. Definition, what a Christian is from last week. Maddie?
To God, by God.
Excellent. Now, there's a slips cordon in case I don't throw this very well, so I made it short. Now, that means a few things whilst you're looking up 2 Corinthians 5. If a Christian is someone who is reconciled to God, that means that there was a problem. You don't need to be reconciled to someone unless there was an issue, a problem, a conflict, a difficulty. And we need to be reconciled to God because of a problem. And it's a problem that we've all have, all of us, that in various ways, at various times, we don't want God to be God in our life. That's the problem. We're separated from God because of that problem, and the Bible calls that problem sin. We don't want to acknowledge God as God in our life. And because God is life, He's life itself, spiritual life, and because of our sin, we're cut off from life. And the Bible says really plainly and quite harshly that because we're cut off from God and unless we're reconciled to God, we are spiritually dead. That's how the Bible says it. Now, a dead thing can't reconcile itself. Yeah? I keep imagining a dead kangaroo on the side of the road. It can't do anything. It's dead. A dead person can't reconcile themselves to God. They can't bridge the gap between them and God. But the good news is this. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 19. It's there in front of you. God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. So God has made it possible to be reconciled to him through Jesus. Jesus can bring the new life. He can bring the forgiveness of sins. And how? Verse 21, God made him, Jesus, who had no sin, to be sin for us so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. That's a staggering change. We've gone from being dead to being the righteousness of God. We sang about it in that very first song. So a Christian is someone reconciled to God. They've been given new life. They've been made righteous. And verse 18, it's from God. Verse 18 says, all of this is from God. So, like we saw last week, a Christian is a Christian because of a work of God in their life. Which means some interesting things, some of which we talked about last week. A person could have Christian beliefs, things they think in their head. They could do Christian things. They'd turn up to church. They could have Christian lingo. They could call Jesus Lord. They could be brought up learning about Christian things and still not be a Christian because they've not been reconciled to God by God. They've not had that spiritual transformation by God. And if you take away that spiritual transformation, then you don't have a Christian. Do you remember all that from last week? If you weren't here for last week, you can jump online, have a listen to that talk that we had last week. All of this creates a problem, though. The problem, it can create confusion for us because when it comes to thinking about how we become a Christian, it can leave you thinking, if a Christian is someone reconciled to God by God, what do I do? You can end up thinking that we're passive in the process, that I've just got to kind of sit there and God's going to zap me someday and I'm going to become a Christian, that I did nothing. There was no response in my heart. There was no engagement from my side. It can leave you thinking that, yeah? And I know some of you were kind of wrestling with that last week after last week's talk. And in your heart of hearts, you think, that can't be right. Well, good news is you're right. Your intuition was right. It's only part of the story. In fact, there are clues in our passage from last week. Have a look at verse 20, the second half of verse 20. There's a new sentence that begins, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. So here's Paul. He's encouraging some people that weren't Christians to be reconciled to God, which means they have something to contribute to the outcome. Yeah? You wouldn't be encouraging someone to be reconciled to God unless they had a role to play. So what I want to do today is to address something of an imbalance. Last week we looked at what a Christian is from the side of what God does. Today we want to look at the other essential aspect of what we do. And in addressing that imbalance or creating a balance, it's not that I'm watering down the side of what God does. It's not like I've overstated what God does. What I want to do is I want to hold high what God does, and I also want to hold high what Jesus says we should do. And I want to do what the Bible says and hold both at the same time. So, our question is this: what do we do? What is a Christian from the angle of what we do? Well, I want to give another definition of what a Christian is. Sorry, you're going to have two in your head at the same time. And then when I give you that definition, then we're going to look in the Bible at some examples of where that comes from. And when I give you that definition, I hope you see that it's not a contradiction, that they're overlapping statements, they're complementary statements. So I'm going to give you this definition straight up. And it's this: Shari, just to make you feel nervous, can you remember what you said last week? A Christian is, I've got it here in case you can't remember. I asked for some suggestions of what a Christian is. Some people offered different perspectives, and Shari said, that's all right, you said a faithful follower and believer in Jesus. Yep. Sorry to put you on the spot. I didn't tell you I was going to do that. A Christian is a faithful follower and believer in Jesus. That's the definition we're going to run with today. Notice there are three things that we are doing. We're being faithful, faith-filled. We're being a follower, and we're a believer. And all of these activities are directed at Jesus. So what we're going to do is look at a few passages in the Bible where this definition comes from. First one's in John chapter 1. So if we want to turn there. Now, over Christmas, we spent a little bit of time in this passage, so some people will be very familiar with it. But John chapter 1, verse 11, we're just going to look at two verses. Verse 11 gives us some context, and verse 12 is where we want to get. John chapter 1, verse 11. And if there's someone around you who's not sure where they are in the Bible, please help them out. John chapter 1, verse 11 says this: He came, Jesus, came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. So verse 11 just gives us a bit of context. The context being that Jesus was a real man. He was the God who became flesh. We get that from verse 14. He made everything, including us, which means that we are his. We belong to him, whether we recognize it or not. And he came, in verse 11, he came to his own, but his own didn't receive him. So straight away we see a hint that we play a role. There's a human element, whether we receive Christ or not. Yeah. But then look at verse 12. That's where the meat and the potatoes is. Verse 12 says, Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Now, do you notice there's actually two alternate descriptions of what a Christian is there in verse 12? It's someone who has received him. That's another definition for a Christian, someone who has received Christ. Well, there's another definition, it's someone who is a child of God. That's another definition of a Christian. So just like we noted last week, these are all complementary descriptions in the Bible. But what we're here to do is look at our definition. Our definition is a faithful or faith-filled follower and believer of Jesus. In that verse, verse 12, what are the two things that you are being encouraged to do? I've run out of Milky Ways, I'm sorry. But what are the two things you're being encouraged to do?
Believe.
No. Receive. It wasn't our word. It's receive. Believe and receive. Now, last week, somewhat controversially, I said that a person may believe truths about Jesus and not be a Christian. And I got that from James chapter 2, verse 19. But here, we're being told to believe. So what's going on? Well, the problem is with the English language. We have one word, believe, which covers a whole lot of senses of the word in the Bible. And so when we say we believe something in English, we can mean two different things. We can mean I have an intellectual agreement. When I say I believe you, I could just have an intellectual agreement with what you're saying. Well, the second sense of believing is that I trust you. I entrust myself to you or to what you're saying. That difference is best illustrated with a story, a true story from 1860. You may have heard it. The French tightrope walker Charles Blondin. Niagara Falls, he strung a rope right across the Niagara Falls. I'm assuming on the downside, not the high side, because it was a 300-metre long rope, more than 50-metre drop, and he had no supports, no safety harness, no net, anything. And a whole lot of people from the US and Canada gathered there to watch him walk across this tightrope, and he walked over and he walked back. And then he started to do different things. He carried something over and then back. He walked across on stilts over and back. He rode a bicycle over and back. And every time he was doing this, he would say, "Do you think I can do this? Do you believe I can do this?" And they were going, "Yeah, yeah." They probably wanted to watch him drop, perhaps. I don't know. But anyway, they rode the bike over. Then he got a wheelbarrow. And he wheeled the wheelbarrow over and then back. And then he put a sack of potatoes in the wheelbarrow, rolled it over and back. And then he said, "Do you believe I could take a person over and back?" And they're all going, "Yes, yeah, yeah, we reckon you can." And he said, "Well, who's going to jump in?" And no one did. We have one word for believe. And we use it in two different ways. And the kind of belief that's here is that second kind of belief that's willing to jump in the wheelbarrow. Verse 12, those who believed in his name. That word believe is closely related to trust. So to believe in Jesus is to see Jesus for who he really is and to believe that he's paid the penalty for your sin, and it's to jump in the wheelbarrow with him. It's to trust him. And that trust is a relational trust. That's the word believe. The second word was receive. And it's really just a parallel statement. It's repeating the same concept in a different way. To receive him is not just to receive or accept some facts about Jesus. It's to receive him personally, to entrust yourself to him and to welcome him for who he is, which is Lord and Saviour. So a Christian is someone who believes in Jesus and receives him as he is. That's one passage. Two more, a little bit quicker this time. Mark chapter 1. You jump to Mark chapter 1. So we're unpacking where we get this definition of a faithful follower of Jesus. Mark chapter 1. If we're asking the question, what is a Christian, it would be really good to see what Jesus is calling us to, yeah? And here we have it in Mark chapter 1, verse 14 and 15. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. "The time has come," he said. "The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news." So the time's come. No more delaying. No more holding me off. The time is at hand. Why? Because the kingdom of God is near. It's at hand. It's arrived. Why has it arrived? Because the king has arrived. Jesus is the king. But what are we to do? What does that verse say? We're to repent and believe. Now, we've already done believe in that other verse, so we're going to have a look at what it means to repent. Now, most of you will know what it means to repent. Repent is to turn. To change your mind, to change direction. Put it into biblical terms, it's to turn away from living as if God is not real. It's to turn away from living as if Jesus is less than important. It's to turn away of living as if Jesus can be fit into a box and that you can just kind of pull him out when it's convenient. And to accept the good news. So turning away from that and accepting the good news. And the good news is that the King, Jesus, has made himself known and he's dealt with our sin on the cross. And now he comes to live life and he calls us to live life with him as our King. How are you going? Is it all right? Landing okay? Well, I've got another question for you. How does this word, repentance, fit into our definition? We said a Christian is a faithful follower of Jesus. Doesn't mention the word repent. Well, you can't be a faithful follower of Jesus unless you accept Jesus for who he is. You won't follow someone if you think they're not important. So whilst ever you keep Jesus small, then you're not repenting. You're not letting him be who he is, which means you're not being a faithful follower of Jesus, which is what he's calling you to, because that's what a Christian is. And the second aspect of it is this, that at the heart of who Jesus is what he has done for us. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. So whilst ever you think that you can clean yourself up enough for God, or that you deserve to be God, or that you're sufficiently okay, whilst ever you're thinking that way, then you're not repenting, because at heart, who Jesus is can't be separated from what he has done on the cross. You can't separate what Jesus has done for you from who he is. And so to repent and to believe and to follow is to acknowledge that you needed Jesus to die on the cross for your sin. You needed that. And that's only by faith and trust in who he is and what he has done that you can be made right with God. So repentance is necessary to be a faithful follower of Jesus. Last one, Acts chapter 11. This is the last one and then we'll wrap it up. Acts chapter 11, verse 26. We'll pick it up in 25 for context. We'll read this and you'll think, what's going on? What's this got to do with what we're talking about? Acts chapter 11, verse 25 says this. Then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul. Verse 26, and when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. So for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught great numbers of people. The disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. What's this got to do with what we're talking about? Last week I told you that the Bible only mentions the word Christian three times, and here's one of them. And I think it's a really important verse for telling us what a Christian is. Because when I come to thinking about what a Christian is, I figure that not only does Jesus get to tell us what a Christian is, but that to be what a Christian is has to be what a Christian always has been. That it can't be the case that we get to invent what a Christian is every generation. Sure, how we live that out might change in different cultural contexts and all that, but at heart, what a Christian is has to be what a Christian always was. And here in this verse, Acts 11, 26, we find that originally to be a Christian was to be a disciple of Jesus. The disciples were first called Christians at Antioch. So it turns out that actually there was a period of time when no one was called a Christian. From the time of Jesus' ascension until this point in Acts chapter 11, no one was called a Christian. You were either a faithful follower of Jesus, a disciple of Jesus, or you weren't. So to be a Christian is to be a disciple of Jesus. It was true then, it has to be now. And I want you to notice that to be a disciple, or that you can't be a disciple of Jesus in any real sense unless who Jesus is and what he has done has had some kind of impact on your life. These ones that were disciples of Jesus were called Christians because they were the Christ ones, the ones that were like Christ. So you won't be known as a Christ one unless Christ has impacted your life. So really what we're saying is what we've said so far. You can't be a disciple of Jesus unless you really believe Jesus, you have faith in Jesus. Unless you turn to him in repentance and faith, unless you receive him for who he is and follow him. Now, lots more passages we could look at, but there's just the three that I think will be enough for us today. I think we've covered the essentials of what it is for us to follow, to be a Christian. Last week we looked at the angle of what God does. This week we've looked at what we need to do. We have to respond to Jesus in repentance and faith, in discipleship, in belief, to be a faithful follower and believer in Jesus. If I widen the definition slightly, put it all together, this is what I'd say, something like this. A Christian is someone who has responded to Jesus in repentance and faith. They've been spiritually transformed and they actively follow him so that their life is shaped by his grace. So what does this mean for you and I now? You know, if we're to respond to Jesus with faith, repentance and discipleship, what does this mean? What does it look like? Well, again, I want to look at this from the angle of if you're sitting here, perhaps not as a Christian, wondering what does this mean for you, and for the people that are Christians, what does this mean for you? I want to look at it from both sides. So if you're with us today with an awareness that you're not a Christian, but you are seriously contemplating what this means, then I hope from the passages we've looked at that you're starting to see what it is that God is calling you to. And God is just calling you to himself. He's calling you to himself through Jesus. He wants you to be reconciled with him. And for that to happen, for you to be reconciled with God, what he wants you to do is to respond to who Jesus is and to what he has done. So who is he? Jesus is God himself, God made known. He's the creator of everything and everyone. What has he done? Well, the sin of your apathy and rebellion towards God, and the way that that's played out in your life in a million different ways, that's been paid for and dealt with by Jesus on the cross. And what he is offering is that if you'll accept him for who he is, if you'll receive him, then he's offering to make you a child of God. It's worth remembering this, that to be a Christian is not a static thing. It's not a, I've accepted him once and it's all over. What he calls you to is a life of repentance and faith and obedience, of discipleship. He wants to transform you and for your life to be shaped by him. And if you want that, if you're in that place where you're thinking, yeah, that's what I want, well, that's an awesome thing. And I would just say, don't delay. All that remains is for you to accept Jesus. And you might be thinking, well, how do I do that? Well, it all just starts with a prayer. Just an honest prayer about who you are before God. And an invitation where you will accept him for who he is and that you invite him to be your personal Lord and Saviour. Now, the Christians in this room have all come to that point at some point in their life, and they'll be saying, yeah, it is an awesome thing. Jesus himself said that heaven erupts with joy when one sinner repents. So don't delay. Respond to him. For the Christians in this room, I hope that looking at this stuff over the last 2 weeks has reminded you and refreshed you that being a Christian is not a static thing. You're called to a lifetime journey of faith and repentance and discipleship. And if your faith isn't growing, if your discipleship isn't deepening, then like you book your car in, I reckon you need to book yourself in for a spiritual health check. But what we do is just the same. We just need to turn to him in repentance and faith, accepting him for who he is. I said before, we're going to start the Gospel of Mark. We're going to cheat a little bit and read a little bit from Mark chapter 8, where Jesus talks about what it means to be a disciple. I'm just going to read this and then close. Mark chapter 8, verse 34. Jesus called the crowd to him, along with his disciples, and he said, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. Whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? The call is the same for all of us. There's lots more I could say, but I want to leave it at that. What is a Christian? A faithful follower and believer in Jesus. Someone who has been transformed by him, reconciled to God, by God, through Jesus. Let's pray together. As we bow our heads now, there might be the case that you are aware that you have not really been right with God. And I want you to take this opportunity to accept who Jesus is and what he has done for you. Whether this is the first time you've acknowledged Jesus for who he is and for what he has done, or the millionth time. And I just want you to take this chance to turn to him in repentance and faith. Heavenly Father, we are all eternally grateful for what Jesus has done for us. We want to declare loudly and clearly that we need him as our Saviour and as our Lord. Lord, I pray that you take the things that have been said this morning, and like you promised, that you will take your word and that you will make sure that it doesn't return empty, that you do in us what you need to do. We pray that you would continue to show your love and your mercy and your grace to us, that you would awaken us to spiritual things, that we might follow you, that we might be shaped by Jesus himself, and that we would take each day afresh, that we would take up our cross and follow him, to let his priorities in life, his perspective, his way of seeing people, his way of seeing you, Father, to let that shape us. I want to thank you for the opportunity to focus in on these things. I pray that we have got to the heart of the matter, and I pray that you stir us and grow us. We ask these things in your name. Amen.